Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hey, welcome back. It's Hardline here on News Radio 930 WBEN. A few technical issues. We haven't figured them out, but we can get around it for the first segment. You know, I like making sure the audience knows what's going on, because there's nothing worse than when you're listening to a show or watching a program and they're having technical issues and they're trying to pretend that they don't. I mean, that would just not be fair. So I want to be honest with you guys. Technical issues, but we'll still get the show on. It is Hardline. My name's Joe Beamer. Great to be with you on this Sunday morning, and great to have our first guest, Erie County Legislator Gene Vinyl. Sorry about that. We're still working things out. Gene, good morning.
Good morning.
Now, we had the state of the county this week, where Erie County Executive Mark Poloncarz, you know, addressed some things that are going to be addressed. And I want to get to that. But first, I want your opinion on the Bills stadium deal from a county perspective.
Well, I think from the county expense perspective, it's a good deal in a sense. I'm probably one of the few people that was prepared to vote against it if it wasn't a good deal, even though my husband and my two sons might have killed me as a result of it. But the thing that I liked about it was that that the county share is stated at 18% of the total cost. That's a somewhat inflated total cost, I think, because part of it is, a small part of it is like naming rights to be able to use those and so forth, which are imputed costs. But taking the 18%, that part I loved. I love the fact that the Bills, they have a 30-year agreement to stay. I also love the fact that Poloncarz negotiated that any overages would be borne by the team, by the Pegulas, rather than the county, and that can be a big difference. Although, on the other hand, they also have the benefit, if it's under cost, they get that benefit, and the county doesn't. So it does fix the county's cost. And I also like the fact that, and I, frankly, I was surprised by the idea of sending it to sell, transferring the ownership to the state. But I think it's a great for the county overall because of the fact that it's already off the tax rolls and it's costing like almost $7 million a year just in the game day kind of expenses, and also costing the county in insurance on the property insurance, which we are self-insured otherwise, also costing the county on the maintenance, which has been really high when I've looked back in budgets. So it's a savings over the time period of way more than that $250 million. So for those reasons, I thought it was good. And I also love the fact that it can be used for other sports, not just football, but also for soccer. And they're saying that they're going to get some friendly league, you know, international leagues, because so many young people are really interested in soccer. So I think in the future, soccer is going to become bigger and bigger. There were a lot of things about it that I liked. So I really changed my opinion from lukewarm to against it to very much in favor of it once I found out the details of it.
No, and that the fact that it's going to be able to host soccer is something that always bothered me about the current stadium. So I'm happy that is that's going to happen. In your opinion, if this stadium deal didn't happen, or if it was dragged out for another year, do you believe the Buffalo Bills were going to leave?
I think it's sort of like negotiating with a terrorist. If you have an idea that you can't ever say no because they might leave, it's sort of like, you know, do this or I'm going to shoot this dog kind of an argument of negotiation. So I didn't feel completely that way, but there was fear. Like one of my fellow legislators who I'm, you know, close with and respect. He always brought up San Diego every time, you know, any question was raised to the about, you know, the fairness and before we knew the final details. So I kept looking at him and say, San Diego, I know, because he was always worried about we'd become a San Diego. So I think, I mean, we are a small market, let's face it. And the NFL claims that they won't ever allow a Green Bay situation again where the, because I was thinking, why don't we just buy the team? We're paying, if the state and everyone is paying this much, it's almost getting to the point of buying the team and then having that asset. But they said that that would never go again. So I do think that there was, Mark Klinkar said afterwards, while he was informing us about the details, that, you know, Orlando was seriously considering buying the team, even though they have two teams in Florida. They thought they still hit a market. So I do think that long-term it could have been. I think the things that saved us were over the course of the last so many years that the team or NFL or Ralph Wilson put money into really going after the Ontario market, Southern Ontario market, very successfully. At the time of the last negotiation, already a third of the seats are bought by people from Ontario. That's as of the last negotiation, not this one. I don't know the exact totals. They said it was about the same. And also by really spreading across New York State. I mean, we are New York State's only team technically, but really spreading east to Rochester and even up to Syracuse. And they're altogether like 46% of the season tickets were sold, even as of the last when we did that major renovation, were sold outside of Western New York, not counting Erie County, but all of the eight counties of Western New York. So they did successfully really market these other regions. So I think that made it more secure for the Bills. But my worry, I don't know if this is your worry too, but my worry is that I'm worried about what our tickets price is going to be and what are those license fees going to be? And is it going to make it that we stretch out our regional market and only like the really rich can afford to go to the game? That's the one thing I was worried about that really isn't being, you know, locked down as to what the amount of the tickets are going to be.
I'm kind of hoping that the personal seat license keep ticket prices somewhat reasonable for the first few years in the new stadium, but we'll have to wait and see. And Gene, I wish you could still buy a team. You know, I wish it could still be where the community owns the team because I'm a diehard Bills fan, but it's also pretty cool to be a Green Bay Packers owner. You know, it's just cool to have that certificate.
Yeah, I would love that. I'm with you on that.
What do you think of the, before we get into the state of the county, you mentioned the personal seat license, your opinion on that, because I'll give you mine. I want to know what you think. I look at it as a lot of public money going into the stadium. I thought that would kind of waive the need for personal seat license, but we hear it's going to happen again, a one-time fee. What's your opinion on personal seat license?
Well, I think that in answer to that question, like what I think on that is that we say like, okay, 18% is paid by the county. That is great. You know, it's better than what I expected. Although when I was congratulating Klinkar, you said, I think that's kind of an insult. You didn't think I was a good negotiator, which I thought kind of taking it the opposite way. But anyway, bottom line is that the state is putting in a hard number of, you know, a little over 40%. And it's listed that the team is putting in a hard number of under 40% rather. But it's really, they count towards that, the seat licensing. They count towards it all the little fees that are going to be paid and collected to go towards it. So basically, the fans are, I guess that's the way always in every business in some way that the consumer actually pays the cost. But the fans are paying that. So the only thing, getting back to what we were talking about before, that because so like almost half, more than half aren't from Erie County, that I do think it's like that it's sort of a user fee that the stadium is going to be, the cost of the stadium, 40%, really is going to be borne by the users and ultimately the fans. Not the fans that are at home watching. And, you know, like my husband always says that, like, the reason why we should have the Bills is the, you know, that old expression, like esprit de corps, like the feeling of goodwill, the feeling as a community that draws us together, that we all love the Bills. And even for watching it at home or watching it at a bar, we love the Bills. We love to go. My husband or my one son was saying he went on a plane someplace. It wasn't even during the season. And he counted how many people on the Buffalo plane were wearing some item of Bills paraphernalia in the winter. And it was like a huge percentage of including him were wearing some kind of Bills you know, paraphernalia. Why? Because we love the Bills. So that is worth something. And so the people who love the Bills and watch at home aren't paying, but the people who are watching in the stands are going to be paying for, you know, a significant portion of that stadium in when it's out. So that licensing is part of it. I hope that it's true, like you're saying, that it's, you know, the seat licensing is going to be, it's a one-shot deal, and then therefore it'll make the seats less. But don't those owners want to get reimbursed for that they paid? So if they sell it, they'll try to sell it to sell that license fee back?
It'll be interesting. You know, you look around the league, you have personal seat license as low as, you know, $1,000 paid over the time that you have the seat. And then you have, you know, a Vegas situation where a personal seat license costs more than I think I made last year.
In Seattle, even, like, someone said that Seattle was like $40,000 for certain seat licenses. I don't know if that's Los Vegas instead, but I was shocked at the amount of seat licenses.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. I know it's something foreign to the area. It'll be interesting to see. And obviously, when that stuff is announced, we will get reaction on those numbers. Now, we also had the state of the county this week. And before I ask you what you liked the most about it, the thing that stuck out to me, and maybe it's a weird thing to stick out, but this is what stuck out to me, was the discussion of Erie Community College. And the fact that the college was close to being bankrupt, what do you think of the county's role, and what do you think should happen with ECC?
Well, I think that we invest in community colleges to, number one, get people out of poverty. Number two is to move people into the middle class. And number three is to create, to attract employers by providing a trained workforce. And then fourth is to keep employers by providing a trained workforce. So I do think it's really important to have a community college. I think that we could do more. I'm fighting to get some additional funding towards marketing for ECC because I have four kids that are 19 to 25 in graduate school and college. So I'm like a recipient of, you know, constant marketing from other colleges, including community colleges, and not with ECC as much. So I'm fighting for that personally. But I do think that we have to think about breaking down barriers for students to get there. Amherst is trying to work something with ECC to use that campus for the community in the summer, and then in exchange to invest into making it look more like a college and less like a high school. So I do think that, I mean, the by law, the county has a financial obligation to pay a portion of that, you know, so that even though it's SUNY Erie now, it's not owned by the county, but it is the county's. I think it's 40%. I could be wrong about that exact figure, but I think we're supposed to be contributing 40% of the costs. So I do think it's important to do that. And I think I am actually personally working as hard as I can on that by trying to encourage them to do specific programs. And I've been working a lot with the head of the foundation. And there's so many people really committed to it. I mean, the idea of spending $2.6 million, I think it was, for retirement incentives, I do think that there's a natural hesitancy in government I've noticed over the last 2 years that isn't as much in the private sector about, the discomfort towards, staffing changes, you know, that they don't, that, I mean, I, just to speak, you know, frankly, I do think that there's sort of a discomfort about like ever decreasing staff. There's no hesitancy on increasing staff, but even if there's sort of a need, either financially or a need in terms of performance, I have noticed that a little bit. But anyway, so I think that they are using that as an incentive. And Mark Poloncar says that it'll save $6 million in costs every year. But it's a starting point, but I mean, in a sense, wouldn't you rather have that money going to, you know, trying to get more students and break down barriers for students to, so that they can succeed and get through it through the 2 years, you know, to replace high school, maybe that they didn't get the education in high school. But even still, though, I mean, getting back to it, if that's the way it has to be, I guess that's the way that it's done in government at this point, that they use those incentives, you know, to make change rather than forcing anybody's hand at it. So, but anyway, it's, I mean, that's the way I look at it, that we need ECC. I mean, we might not need all three campuses, but I do think we need, ECC. I mean, don't you feel that we need ECC as a continuing asset of the county?
Oh, I don't disagree. I might want to look at, maybe decreasing the two campuses or one big campus, but no, I don't disagree with that. Gene, with what was announced, you had the ECC announcement, the expansion in the sewer plant, the countywide broadband network, which is something that I agree with the county executive 100%. What did you like the most about the state of the county, and what did you think needs more addressing?
Well, I did like there's a lot of great programs. Erie County, one thing I have learned in just the, 2+ years as being a legislator, Erie County really is the most progressive in a lot of things. The business programs that we've done, like with the pandemic, there were only, I think, 4 counties in the whole United States that gave any money to business and to small businesses. And, we spearheaded that. So I do like that. I'm hopeful about that storefront initiative program. I'm also, just in my own personal family, I'm happy on the library, no more fees. I also like the respite giving, it's a modest amount, but $350,000 more to respite and recovery for the short term. And that diverts people from going to ECMC for like a lockdown psychiatric situation. But they can't, maybe be home at that point. So that is money very well spent and could be even more. I like the childcare. This might be a little bit too detailed for your show, but like the childcare, it's such an outdated formula that they use that they took an average that back 20 years ago or whatever it was, that the average kid was in childcare for 5 hours a day. So they only pay, no matter how long a child is there, if the person's getting subsidized, they only get paid 5 hours, even if the child's there 9 hours. I mean, to me, that's a crime right there. But they have, second of all, is that that's when we didn't have, all these, other child care options, for universal pre-K and so forth. Because my mother went, after she sold her business, she went into daycare just as a worker and loved it, went to ECC, actually, at 69 and got her degree in it. But so I know a little bit more than the average person about it from my mom, but who's gone now, but just as far as like the changes of it. So now childcare is really much more younger kids who are there longer hours, and you can only have for babies, you can only have two babies for one worker. So to pay a childcare, like a small childcare center, most are women owned small businesses, to pay them 5 hours for a kid that's there 9 hours when they have to pay, it's the more you work, the less you make because the more you lose. So he's putting something towards that. He asked, one line you might have noticed in his speech is that he's saying that he's asking the state to increase child care subsidies by 20% in the next budget. But in the meantime, the county is going to make up that difference for those people. And I think it's the right thing to do. And I hope, and it's based on a study that the legislature funded with Cornell at a very modest amount with like $15,000 or something, but Cornell paid for the lion's share and Maria White was instrumental in it, and they to determine the actual costs. So that I kind of liked. The thing I wish that they would do more of, is that I'm representing Amherst, New York. I grew up in Buffalo, live in Amherst for 20 some years, and Amherst and Buffalo both, we fund our own police. All right. We have our own police force. We fund largely our own sewer. We fund largely our own water. We, fund all of our youth programs, Amherst does. And yet Amherst pays more taxes than any other municipality, including Buffalo, in actual dollars, not per capita, but in actual dollars. So I think that there should be money allocated towards towns such as Amherst, which is like Amherst, Cheektowaga, Tonawanda, that we pay for our own police force at a top-notch rate and pay for Marilla's and Clarence's and Alma's police force. So I do think that there should be more spreading to towns such as Amherst and Buffalo, for our sewer. They're spending tons of money on the sewer, which I think is great, and that's the whole purpose of this extra money. But I think some of it, Amherst is in desperate need of a west side interceptor, which causes tons of problems. And Amherst, for the money that we got from the rescue, on towns, it was based exclusively on poverty, not just like gross income. Like, say if you're like lower middle class or middle class, it was just based on the number of people who are actually in poverty. You see what I mean? Like the difference, not just like
right.
one, you know, so like Amherst got something like 14 million. Okay. The city of Buffalo, which has twice as many people, you would, so if they got a pro rata, they would get 30 million, but they got 350 million. So they got about on a pro rata basis, about 10 times. And the county, you know, got $189 million, which Mark was instrumental. Mark Poloncarz was instrumental as part of the, you know, he's an officer of the National Counties thing. And in making the county one on a population base, not on a poverty base. So the compromise was that cities and towns would get it based on poverty, and counties, with Mark and a couple of other people really pushing for it, literally nationally, was based on population. So I do wish that there would be some more, and I'm trying to get this, it's not that easy, but there'd be some more allocation to towns to sort of look at more the overall part of wealth, not just like there's poverty and then there's like lower middle class and things like that. People who are, you know, working poor, lower middle class still have struggles. And, you know, to sort of patch that up, I wish some of it would go to that. So that's the one thing. You might not have expected, but.
Gene, I appreciate that. I appreciate you joining us on this Sunday morning.
Thank you so much. And thanks for reaching out. I really appreciate trying to get, you know, all sides of an issue.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.